statement that he made when he was talking just stuck with me, wouldn't go away. So just kind of put together some words. It's just really stayed with me all week since then. He said, "How do you measure a blessing from the Lord?" And I don't know about anybody else, if you didn't, but that just really lodged in my mind and in my heart. And I thought of, there's an old song that says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one." And I just started thinking, you know, next month is going to be Thanksgiving, and that just hit me today when I was doing this, you know. But really, if we can keep in mind all those blessings all the time, I've heard many people say, you know, if God never blessed me again, he never did one more thing for me, just the things that he's done until now, he deserves the rest of my life in service to him, you know. I just started thinking about that. You know, if I just made a list and then I just took one thing on that list, if I just took one, there's nothing in this world that I would trade for just one of those things, let alone all of the many blessings, just the answered prayers and the times he's healed, and just, you know, just so many things that, I want to be mindful of that and remember. Had a rough week. Most of y'all know I started a new job, and it was kind of rough this week. I went from, several of you know, the first couple of weeks I was really kind of complaining because it was really boring. They weren't giving me enough to do. Well, they made up for it this week, I promise you that. But, you know, I was reminded to go back and remember, you know, how I prayed for that job. I asked God if he would let me have that, you know, if he would allow me the chance to do that job and to have that. And he answered that prayer. That is a blessing. That's just one more on the list of blessings that he gave me. And I don't want to get sidetracked, because it gets a little difficult now and then in life, on the job, anywhere, in anything. I don't want to get sidetracked by that and forget that he blessed me. Forget that he has blessed me time and time and time again. Tell me, how do you measure a blessing from the Lord? How do you calculate its worth? There's no money, no position this world can offer me that I would trade for just one blessing from God. Tell me, how do you measure a blessing from the Lord? How do you calculate its worth? There's no money, no position this world can offer me that I would trade for just one blessing from God. Tell me, how do you measure a blessing from the Lord? How do you calculate its worth? There's no money, no position this world can offer me that I would trade for just one blessing from God. Oh, tell me, how do you measure a blessing from the Lord? How do you calculate its worth? No money, no.
Cries out, hallelujah, praise soul cries out, hallelujah.
Whatever God takes me through, I know He's behind everything, and I know that He said He would never leave me or forsake me, and I have to remember that, and I know that I've come a long ways. You know, I finally got it in my head. I mean, you know, years ago, I would go through something, and oh, woe is me, you know, have a pity party, and you know, how am I going to do this? What's going to happen? This and that, you know. But, I finally grew up. And one of the things that God has blessed me with that I have prayed and prayed for is, I'm not saying I got a lot of wisdom, okay, but I'm saying I've been praying every day. I mean, Brother Leninger would tell us this, and Brother Smith, Brother Tucker, if you want wisdom, pray for it. Pray for wisdom, for understanding. Because I for God to give me more hunger for His Word. And well, Philip had left a suitcase of tapes, and I was going to give them back to him, and he says, "No, Mom, I gave them to you." And I said, "Oh." So one day I thought, I'm just going to grab some, start listening to him in the car, and I started to, and oh my goodness, I mean, I know I was in a lot of those services, but do I remember what was? Nothing. I mean, I don't remember anything, but oh, I listened. I mean, it was like, I don't know, it was just so good. I mean, I started crying because God was letting me in on some of those revelations and those nuggets that I needed. But I guess He felt I didn't need them back then, But he knows when to give them to me. And I just started wanting to listen to more and more. And the song services that we're having. And just different, you know, meetings. Brother Linegar and other ministers were talking. And I just got a lot out of it. Well, it just like felt like I was just like, you know, getting closer and closer to God. And then things started happening. And I remembered what Brother Tucker said one time about, y'all know when he said about going through a trial and then you go, next? Yeah. Well, that's the way it's been all week. Like Sister Lynette said something about having a bad week. Well, I've been having a bad month, and it's not really bad because he's good for me. And but to summarize it up, you know, it kind of, this week started with my blood pressure being skyrocket high, and the doctors would not return my call and just give me another drug. And I didn't get mad. I just very, very seriously said on the message, I said, okay, this is the third time that I have called y'all. I need another stronger drug. If you don't give it to me, if I have a heart attack, my husband will just going to have to call you and tell y'all that she tried, and, you know, you guess the rest, okay? That's all I'm going to say. Goodbye. They called me right after that, and now they want me to come in with my log that I was supposed to be keeping whenever they took me off that other drug and this and that anyway. Well, anyway, I still don't have my new drug. And then, lo and behold, Monday, yesterday, because I was still dealing with them Monday, the blood pressure. Tuesday, I was driving toward, I was going to work at Hannah's school for the book fair, and my car started heating up. I mean, it went that quick, I called Stan, I said, I need your help, and so he brought the truck, and he said, go on, and I went left, and he left him with it, and he took it to the shop. He put water and all that stuff in there. Anyway, come to find out that it's going to cost $900 and some to get it fixed because it's something to do with the radiator. I don't know. A bunch of different things. You have to take out the motor and this and that. Anyways, and I thought, okay, next. So then today I get a call. I was on my way to the Crows, and then I was going to pick the kids up, school, and I get a call from my father-in-law. He said, we've been in a wreck. He said, and Stan is, how did he say it? He's pretty knocked up. He's pretty banged up. Yeah, he's pretty banged up. Well, for my father-in-law to say that, you know, it's like, oh, my God, you know, what does that mean? Because he doesn't, you know, he really smooths things up a lot. And so what happened, why he said he was banged up, when the car hit him on his driver's side, it smashed, he threw him into shock, and he paralyzed him. And he couldn't move or get out or anything. And they had, of course, the ambulance came, and the police and the fire department had to take the door off to get him out and put him on a stretcher, and he was all, he's bruised up, and he's got a big old lump on his arm, and, you know, limping and all that. But he was smiling, you know, after, by the way, Bonnie had been checking on me, texting me, going, how are you feeling today? You know, how's your blood pressure? And so this last text that after I got the call, she said, how are you feeling? And I said, call me. So she called me, and I told her, I said, pray, Bonnie. I don't know what I'm going to face when I go to the hospital. I'm going to check the children out. First, I got permission to check them out early and to go to Benton Hospital. And she later called me. She goes, I'm on my way. She goes, I'm coming too. And I said, can we ride with you? Because I didn't know if I could. He goes, yes. So she took us to the hospital, to Benton. And then I went in. And anyway, he was walking out. So, you know, right away, it was like, that's a blessing because he didn't have a broken bone. I mean, all that banging and total car and paralyzed, this and that, whatever, you know, it could have been bad, but people were praying. Even the schools, when they found out, when I went to check him out, they said, what is your husband's name? And I said, we're going to be praying for him right now. Anyway, and I thought, wow, that's so cool. The elementary school and the middle school both. And I know other people, I found out later, Bonnie put a request, didn't say what, but just put a request that we needed prayer. And people started praying. So I know that God did it. And I cannot, you know, and I go home and I thank him. And I don't care what troubles I go through, because hallelujah anyhow, you know, because he's going to bless me no matter what. He's blessed me so many times that I can't even count, you know. It's just unbelievable. I cannot get down. I'm not crying because I'm sad. I'm overwhelmed because I know like what the Bible says, that God chastens those he loves. Well, he loves me because he's, and you know, and he's making me stronger. I'm going to be a better person because of this, and I'm going to make it. I'm not going to let him get me down. I'm going to make it. And I just want to thank God. I want to thank God for saving me and for bringing me here and keeping me here, keeping me safe, keeping my family safe. And I'm just grateful. I'm so overwhelmed with thankfulness for the Lord. Thank you.
Was singing it when I woke up. It is, doesn't the Lord thrill you through and through? Doesn't he watch right over you? And you know he does in so many ways. He watches over us. As Sister Linda was talking there, you know, regardless what comes our way or what doesn't, God is there. He's there to take care of us if we'll just learn how to lean on him. Learn that he's there as a heavenly father that looks after his children regardless what comes or goes. He'll be there to watch over you. It may not be the way you'd like for it to be. It may not be what you would like it to be. But how can you count one blessing above the other? Oh God, there's no way a blessing is a blessing of God. And I am so thankful tonight to know that I serve a Father in heaven that cares for me. He cares when nobody else cares. When we moved to Hot Springs, I had a cat that I took with me. That cat, well, I didn't take him at first because I didn't want to go down there and him take off. Well, my mother-in-law said that cat cried and cried and cried and cried because we had left. So we come home when that cat was so happy to see me. He was just so happy. So I took that cat back with me. And he was always an outside cat. Well, he become an inside cat. And I told that cat, I said, you stick by me when nobody else will. But that was so untrue. My Heavenly Father was there to be with me, to encourage me, lift me up. And when you think nobody cares, he cares. He cares for you, and he'll help you regardless if you'll just learn how to lean on him. And I appreciate him tonight and thank him for his goodness to me.
I can already say, it's a blessing to be here tonight, to just to be here for the song service. The wonderful words of God and song, to be inspired. I really appreciated both of your selections there, Sister Stewart. The first one, you know, how much money, how much can you put on one of God's blessings? How much value is it? I was thinking about that as we were singing that song. You know, okay, so what in my mind is going over blessings? What's a blessing to me? And, you know, I can think on the natural side of things, but the song really, the way it was speaking to me, you know, it immediately was alluding to spiritual things, because it's talking about, well, how much money or what would you trade it for? Well, what would I trade forgiveness of my sins for? My past sins. Before I came to that point to ask God for forgiveness, there were sins. It doesn't matter if I was 3 years old. It doesn't matter if I was 66 years old. There were sins in my life because I had this Adamic nature that has ruled in my flesh. But, you know, and I don't know. I know I was a small child. It was probably in the school where I first started being convicted about having a relationship with Christ. And no matter what it had been, if I had just disobeyed my mom and not cleaned my room, or if I had, you know, taken one too many cookies from the cookie jar, whatever it was, I had sin working in my life. And all I had to do was just say, you know what? I've heard them say that there's this Jesus, that if I will just look to Him and say, Jesus, I need You. Forgive me for my sins. Then He washed them away. He put them away out of memory and never to bring them up before me again. How much would you trade that right there for? How much is that worth? And that wonderful, what goes along with that, gift of salvation. To understand that, and this is a true understanding, that not only was I forgiven for my past sins, but He's working in me a way for me to overcome this sinful flesh, so I will not commit sin. Therefore, there will be no future sin go out there. I'll be living above sin. That's a true salvation that He's working in our life today. What can you trade that for? How much is that worth today? That makes me think about the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. That God's own Son, God's only Son. Now, I have 3 children now. And I love, let me say this, I love each and every one of you. But I don't know that I couldn't give any one of them for you. Or let alone people I don't know in this world. Have you seen the people in this world? Do you interact with them? Do you want to hug and kiss every one of their necks? No. I'll just speak to myself. No. There's a lot of people that they're just not real friendly. Yet He gave His only begotten Son while we were yet in sin. Think about that for a moment. Well, Selah on that one. How much is that worth? Can I put a price on Christ's death? Can I put a price on that wonderful Spirit of the Holy Ghost being poured out and me having that opportunity? God forbid, it's priceless. There's nothing I can ever do. How's that one song go? He paid a debt. I owed a debt I could not pay. I owed a debt I could not pay. There it is right there. I couldn't come near it. Get anywhere near. I could work all my life. I could. It was an old illustrated story. Was it that Sister Tammy Case now, Thompson then, used to do what it was, Filthy Rags, where, you know, she had memorized all her Bible verses and she had done this and that, and then whenever she gave it to the Lord, it was nothing but what? Filthy rags. I don't have anything to give the Lord but my life. God, it's what I'll give to You. But once again, there's no price I can put on that wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. And we have that opportunity here tonight to fill that wonderful Spirit. Praise the Lord. I want to lift that up. Going into that next song, help me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and what He has done for me, My soul cries out, hallelujah! Praise God for saving me. Does that not just burn? Is that something inside of you when you really think about that right there? When I think of the goodness of Jesus, go back to those blessings. Go back to those different times. Let me tell you, I can tell you, I've been in some dark places that He didn't put me, but I put myself. Some deep, dark, sinful, terrible conditions. But God. But God didn't turn His back on me. He never left me. He never forsook me. He never said, I'm done with you, boy. You, forget it. I can't do anything with you. No. He gave me mercy. He gave me His grace. Once again, what can you put on that? What price can you put on that today? $1,000? $10,000? $1,000,000? There's no price that you can pay for that. I was just sitting there thinking, you know, God forbid that I sit in that chair and not get up and lift my hands to Him when I think of the goodness of Jesus and what He's done for me. My soul is crying out tonight, hallelujah, I am here. I have this opportunity tonight to feel this wonderful Spirit. We are so blessed tonight. Do you see the news? Do you see the things going on in this world? The corruption, the fear, Ebola this, Ebola that, ISIS, all these terrible. To lean upon His arm. He has promised not to leave us. He's a shelter in the time of storm. Is he your shelter in the time of storm? Oh, yeah. If He's not, you know what? All you got to do is ask. All you got to say, Lord, I've heard about your shelter. I've heard that if I'll just lift my hands to you, if I will just, even if I'm in a crowded room, if I'll just close my eyes right there and get in my closet and say, God, I need you right now. Lord, I need you right now. I don't know the answer. I don't know what to do, but I know a man who can. I know a man who will lift me up. I know a man who is resurrecting me daily from this body of death. I was thinking about when those songs were going on, I was thinking about two different people came to my mind, and one in John 9, this blind man, that says in John 9, and as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. This man had never known sight. Never. I mean, to be blind, it was as normal as it is for you and I to see. Never had seen anything. Couldn't distinguish color. You know, didn't know what his own mother looked like or his own father. Hey, if someone said you're a spitting image of your father, he'd have to take their word for it. He didn't know. He'd never seen. Never seen his own reflection. Never seen the stars at night. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Now, come on down here. So basically, in verse 6, and when He had said thus, He sat down on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And He said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, this is something I get out of this right here. You know, I'll tell off on me right now, okay? So many times, I'll pray, and I'll just wait for that deliverance from on high. You know, I'm just waiting for God to deliver me out of whatever I've gotten myself into that day. You know, it's almost like there's this big pit, and the Lord says, don't go over there. And I go, what pit? And I fall into it, and then I go, okay, Lord, my bad. I wasn't paying attention again. What was that about? and I'm waiting for God to pull me out of the pit. I'm confessing, okay? He'll forgive me of my sins. I'm confessing. I'm saying sometimes I get myself into binds that, it's a very difficult one for me. I bite my tongue often when you're around people that, they know just enough of the Bible that it's dangerous. You know, they'll say something in the nature of, God won't put on you more than you can bear. And I want to say, yeah, but you can do a great job of putting plenty on yourself. Just saying. You know, if I go out there on the street and I get in front of a bus and it hits me, well, that's the Lord's fault. He should have saved me. Really? I think God gave me enough sense not to walk out in the street. I'm just saying. All right. So here, what I was saying to this right here is Christ put that on his eyes. Now, did he have to do that? Was it magic spit? You know, was it holy dirt? No. You know, for whatever reason, that's the way he chose to do it. But the thing is right here, he said, now you go wash it off in this pool. So he asked that man to do something. Now, sometimes I've had a spirit, and that's what I'm saying, is that, you know, now this man didn't do anything to be blind. I have done things to hinder my walk with God. I have done things to pull myself back from him, and then I just expect him, hey, God, fix it. Lord, I don't feel your spirit. And then he's yelling, well, that's because you're way over there. If you'll come over here where the rest of us are, it's okay. Hey, it's raining over here. Hello. And then I go back over eventually as I realize, you know, you smell rain sometimes. Oh, okay, he's over here. See, you're laughing. So have you ever? Okay, see, all right, maybe one another person's there with me. All right. Brother Daniel's honest. He'll admit it. All right. But he had to go to that pool. And he had to do something. You know, Brother Linger used to always say, hey, God will do his 90%. Guess what? That leaves 10 for you. And I don't know if there's an actual holy percentage. Okay? But I know that the Lord has given me instruction. You know, it's like you can, that old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, I guess you can lead a fill to the truth, but you can't make him believe it. You know, if it's taught all day long, but if I don't have eyes to see and ears to hear, it's not going to help me. I got to be willing and obedient. I got to be willing. I got to realize I need help. What's that with Alcoholics Anonymous? One of the first things that they work on them is admitting that they have a problem. If they don't do that, they can't be helped. God, I got a problem. Hi, my name's Phil, and I'm a sinaholic. It's been 5 minutes and I don't think I've sinned. Woo! 5 minutes of perfection. Woo-hoo. I'll do another minute and we'll see how we go from there, okay? He went to that pool and he washed off that clay. We'll go on down to verse 7. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by the interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. So now this man who is not seen from birth, who has never had vision, now has eyes to see. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? So they're going back and forth, and they're just like, hey, this is that guy that was blind, and now he can see. All right, everyone here pretty much knows the story that, you know, then the people in the temple, they got all up in arms and they're like, wow, what's this about? And they get his parents involved and they're saying, who was this man and why? And his parents are like, I don't know. Why don't you ask him? He's the one that got healed. And then they said in verse 19, this is where, and they asked him saying, is this your son and who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? And his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. Wise parents right there, right? They were just like, you know, he's right there. Talk to him, okay? Just, you guys are crazy. So, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, says his parents, he's of age, ask him. Now, there's something else right there. I want Brother Smith, if you will, to be able to say that of me. That should be our desire. For someone in authority to say, you don't have to ask me, ask them. They're mature enough, they are accountable enough, they know what's right and wrong. They can see good and evil, and they can discern. That's what I'm growing for. That's what I'm growing into. That's what my desire is. That I can mature to a state that I can say with all conviction in my heart, yes, Mr. Atheist, you have some interesting points there, but you've came too late to talk to me, because I have been given the baptism of the Holy Ghost and felt His Spirit for myself. And I don't care what you say, you can't take that away from me. His Spirit indwells in me. I was blind, and now I see. Hallelujah, that's what Jesus has done for me. Yeah. Then again called they the man that was blind and said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man's a sinner. And here he says, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind and now I see. Tell me if this man right here, see, he had that same thing that was bothering his parents about not being able to go to the synagogue, that same sentence was on him right here if he didn't watch his words. But he didn't care. Because you know why? He realized he'd been blessed. How much was that blessing worth? I was blind and now I see. How many of us here today can say that spiritually speaking? How many of us can say, you know what? I remember a time when I was blind, but now I see. You know, in Corinthians it talks about not basically seeing perfectly. And that's where we are right now. God is still opening our eyes on that. But each day as we get closer to Him, as we put ourselves into this Word and we apply it to our heart, what's He doing? He's opening our eyes that much more. There was another blind man that whenever Jesus touched him the first time, he saw men as trees. So he had vision. He was able to see, but he couldn't see clearly yet. But it was definitely a step in the right direction from not being able to see to at least seeing images. And then he touched him again and he said, I see men as they are. One day we'll be able to say, you know what? At one time, when I read the Word of God, I was able to see certain things, but there were still things unclear. But bless God today, because I stayed, because I stood when others went that way. And I said, Lord God, help me. Now I see it as it really is. I see myself as God sees me. That's our goal. That's our desire. That's our perfection. This one right here, that's one that I thought about. But also, what came to my mind, in school we used to sing a song. And it was, when you're a kid, any song that gets you out of the chair and like moving around, and maybe that's just me because I guess I like to move a little bit, was a fun song in school. You know, I can remember There Was a Wise O King. That was a fun song. Father Abraham. That was a fun song. Well, this one right here in Acts chapter 3, this is going back to that song that Sister Stewart sang, that second song. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. and a certain man lame from his mother's womb. So here's another person that has not ever walked in their life. Ever. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine having never walked, never ran, never climbed Pinnacle Mountain? You still may not have done that. You might want to try that sometime. It's pretty fun. But never done anything like that. Ever lame. From his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Now, he's asking for money. Okay, we're looking at our blessings and saying, you can't have them. They're worth more than any money. This guy is literally, that's what he's wanting for his blessing. He's like, I got to have some food. I need the new Nike sandals that's down at the Camel Mall. You know, I need something for my journey. I'm not going very far since I'm lame, but still, they look pretty cool on my feet. You know, I don't know what it was, but he needed some alms, right? He needed some money. He may have had a family. That may have been his only way of paying for their food, was to beg. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked them alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." Isn't that what Jesus is often saying? Just look to me. Look to the hills from whence cometh your help. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Look up. Look up and rejoice. A new day has begun. Look up. Look up into His eyes. Realize that if I focus on His eyes, everything is going to be okay. Here's the most important part right here. See, he wasn't that horse that went to water and didn't drink. And he gave heed unto them. To interpret that for my children, he said, "Okay." And he looked up. He made eye contact. And he was expecting to receive something. You know what? When I look up to God, when I'm asking Him to help me, when I need that touch of the Holy Ghost, when I want to get under the spout where the glory comes out, I need to have in my mind, I need to be expecting something. I don't need to just be like, okay, we'll go through the motions. Hallelujah, amen, pass the plate around again. I want to look up with my eyes saying, "Lord God, I know You are my source. You are the God who has saved me. Lord, I need something today." He was looking up into those eyes expecting. He listened and he was expecting. Then Peter said, and here's where the song goes. And Sister Jamie, you can join along. And Brother Anthony, I know you know the song. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And what's it say next? And he... okay, well then I lost my place. That's what it says. "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." Walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. Tell me what that song says. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and what He has done for you and me, my soul cries out, "Hallelujah! Praise God! Hallelujah! You know what? I want to know. I want to know, what has God done for you this week? It might have been an Alexander's terrible, horrible, no good, very bad week, month, or year. But bless the Lord, you're here tonight. Bless the Lord, there's hope. Are you alive tonight? Guess what? The dead know nothing. But you're not dead, neither physically nor spiritually. You have come to the Mount Zion. To this holy place. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Lift up your eyes, O ye everlasting doors. The King of glory is here. Let's lift up our hands tonight. Let's praise Him. Let's realize, why am I here? Because He looked at me and He said, "You can go." And if He called me and He started this journey in me, He is faithful to see me through.
Oh, yes, He will.
Blessed be His name. Blessed be the Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Praise your wonderful name. So I admonish you tonight, take a part of this service. This service and every service is only what we desire it to be. If we will just pull with all, we've been taught, hey, I'm not preaching to you, I'm talking to us. I'm not talking to novices here tonight. I'm talking to the saints, an innumerable company of angels who have been taught. We know how to press. We know how to get that wine. We know how to fill that spirit. Hey, you know what? I need more of it. I need you. I need you. I need your help. When I come in here, hey, I'm right there with you. Sometimes I come in here and I'm just like, somebody drag me through the door because I'm lame and blind. I am feeling like this world fell on me today. But bless the Lord, I can come in here and I can hear songs of Zion like that and I can get a kick in my step. Why? Because He saved me. And He's not done yet. He's not done. This ain't the finished product. Thank the Lord. There's more work to be done. If I just come and submit myself to Him. So let's bring it. You know what? I need, I'm telling you, I need something from Him. I want a closer walk. Oh, want that Holy Ghost to just overflow right now. I need that touch of His. I want to feel my Lord and Savior. And I don't want to count it for naught. So I'm just saying to you, hey, pulpit's open. If you got a song, sing it. If you got a testimony, talk it. If you want to run around the church, well, come on. Hey, guess what, guys? We're not in church.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Blessed be His name. Thank you, Lord.
Have called me if He didn't want me. He wouldn't have given His life on Calvary in vain. He wouldn't have said I could go if it really wasn't so. He wouldn't have chosen me if I couldn't make it in. He wouldn't have called me if He didn't want me. Given His life on Calvary in vain. He wouldn't have said that I could go if it really wasn't so. He wouldn't have chosen me if I couldn't make it in. He wouldn't have called me if He didn't want me. He wouldn't have given His life on Calvary. If it really wasn't so, He wouldn't have chosen me if I couldn't make it in. He wouldn't have called me if He didn't want me. He wouldn't have given His life on Calvary Bay. He wouldn't have said I could go if it really wasn't so. He wouldn't have chosen me if I couldn't make it in.
If He didn't want me, He wouldn't have given His life Calvary in vain. He wouldn't have said that I could go if it really wasn't so. He wouldn't have chosen me if I could make it in. He wouldn't have called me if
go. If it really was so, he would not chosen me. If
I could make it in, he wouldn't have called me. If he didn't want me,
he wouldn't have given his life on Calvary.
Yeah.
But I've grown up with all my life to no other people but the body of Christ. It's all I've known. And I don't know when I realized where I was going until I was about 3 or 4 years old. I don't know where I'm going. But I look back and over my history, and the times that I was discouraged and ready to give up, and when I thought I'd go somewhere, I didn't know where to go. Didn't have any place else I wanted to go. I've been up and happy and shouting and having a good time, and I've been down and out, ready to give up. But God's kept me all these years. I haven't said much to you all about my 4 years in the Air Force. I went in there praying. I didn't have the Holy Ghost even yet at 21. And I had a problem with it, wondering why I couldn't get the Holy Ghost. Be careful what I say here. Don't misunderstand me. Misunderstanding. I was struggling in my life, in my spiritual life. The church that we went to was little Brother Cheney's church that my dad had built. Later, I was baptized in it at 7 years old when my grandpa was about to die, my father's father, Charles Weininger. He was about to die of smoking. They already found out that he had a great big cancer. I don't know if any of you have ever been at the Barnes Hospital in St. Louis, where they have big picture frames of people's lungs that smoked. By the way, when I was born, I had a fault in hearing, and they took me to the hospital, and I don't think that had any money. It was a poor day in that day, 1940. Like I said, I don't know where I'm going here. I can't tell my whole life, but I wish I could. In just a few minutes, I'd like you to know that I'm thankful that God has kept me through all these years. When I was in the service, I went in a puzzled way. It was a way that I didn't want to go, but the church was having trouble in those days. I'm going to mention the minister of the body of Christ at that time was Brother Jolly, and the churches were having struggle. And I tried to go, and I had a job that kept me out of church for that time. I mean, just sporadic. I probably was in church only about once a week, and no more than that, because the jobs keep you busy. And of course, when I was in the service for 4 years, I looked for churches. And I would go to different churches. That's what I did on Sunday. That was my habit before I ever got in the service. I'd like to tell you this, that you get in the military and you get in a group of new men. There ain't a one like you. And your life is the church. And I, every Sunday or Saturday that we were off, people wanted to go and get beer. Most of them guys just wanted to go do something crazy. One day on a Sunday, I was sitting there in the barracks all by myself, as I did on Sunday, writing a book. I call it a book because it was the full tablet. And I'd sit there and write on that thing to my somebody over there. And those little things were packed and go home to her. And I just couldn't hardly wait till I get something back from her. About a year's time in the service, something happened. I didn't get a letter from her. I wish sometimes she'd give her testimony. But she had disappeared because she was having fun playing in the world, I guess, and tempted to get angry at whatever is going on. People have proper problems like that. Well, it happened that she was missing, and I was called and didn't know nothing about it. She didn't call me, and I got worried half to death. Prayed. I went to praying hard. And finally I got a call and they found her and she was back home and everything was all right. And those things caused me to want to go ahead and get married. Because I thought I was going to lose her. And I loved her so much, I hitchhiked all the way home from down there in, where is it, Biloxi, Mississippi, mostly picked up by trucker drivers. And I would talk to them and get them liking me and convince them to go on past where they wanted to turn off the way to go. I'd say, we don't mind. Take me up here to the next truck stop. And one man took me, I don't know how many miles, and just talking to him. I don't know how I did it, but it seemed like things just worked out for me when I did that. And I was most of the time praying for Joyce. I haven't told her that just all this, but I don't remember some of it, and some of it comes back to me. But I'll just make a long story short. I went home, found her, and so on, and I made a decision. I'm going to go ahead and get married. I don't want to lose her. And so I married her right away. And then I didn't have enough money to pay her way to go with me. I didn't want to hitchhike with her. So her mother and dad and my mother and dad must have got together, because I was sent enough money to send her home. I mean, which way was it? I don't know which it now. But she came in on a bus after we got married. It was almost a month that she got till she got there, around Christmas time. And I had a little Christmas tree all set up for her to come in and celebrate in a little way with very little money. Did you know in those days you only got about, how much was it a month? But we had to break it up. I think $15 was my part of it for a month. $30. She got the other 15. But when we got together, we had $30. We wanted to celebrate. We walked and walked around town. Happened to see a church. We decided to go to church. I think went one or two times to that church, and we looked other times we looked for other church. But we were so happy to be together. It was good enough for me. And I'll tell you, the life I led there was good and bad, because there's a lot of, I'll say, trials and tests, temptations, and hard to live right when everybody else is living wrong and making fun of you. More than that, people can imagine a lot of things that don't live like them. I had never been out in the world, never drank any beer. I was offered beer many times. Took one sip, and that's all I ever drank of beer. Who can stand to drink that stuff? I don't know how you do it or if you ever did it. Oh, and people did a lot of tricks on me and bringing me confusion somewhat, and missing church, missing my past life, until I began to get pretty interested in my work after I was trained the first year. And I took a great interest in it, and then I began to enjoy the job that I took and found it. I want to tell you this part of, I can make this too long, I'm sorry. I'm going to try to cut it short, but it was a time when the church at home was upside down. It was really, really troubled of what was going on. And my father left the church in a horrible story of that. But while we were there, two wonderful things happened. A baby was born. Come very soon. Wasn't too long till I had a little baby girl. Or we had a baby girl, not me. And those two children now have two children themselves. And I want you to know, I'm so grateful and thankful that my children and wife is here with me. We've stayed with this people all these years. However, my father's experience was quite a trial for him, and me. I tried to talk my best to keep him to stay in church, but the minister at that time didn't want him to stay. He blamed my father for something, and he said, "Don't talk to him. You'll get dirt all over you if you just talk to him." Well, it stirred me. Unimaginable. It shook me so bad. I like to lost my mind and done some damage to somebody. I didn't yet have the Holy Ghost, but I got to thinking, I wish I did, that I could do something and God would help me. But God don't like me. He won't give me the Holy Ghost. That's the way I thought. Because every time I went to the altar, I prayed, I tried to get the Holy Ghost. I made like I was. I'd make up my words and they would think I was getting the Holy Ghost. And I'd have to admit, I was just saying that because I wanted it so bad. I wanted it to work. Well, that's just part of that story, but I just go back over my history and I think of all that my family's been through. And aside from a cousin, maybe two of them, I don't know where they are now, but I think they're in St. Louis going to the church there. The rest of my family, father and mother, has both passed away, upper brother and older sister has passed away, and I have a younger brother and a younger sister still serving the Lord, but not in the body because of all those shakings back there. But I want to tell you, when I got home from servicing in the Air Force, I went back to church, back to where we were, and it wasn't doing too good. It was the home church. But the other church in the city went on like we always did go, and I moved to that little church. And that's the only other churches I've ever went to. This is the body of Christ. And I've stayed with it. But I want to tell you that my father went to different churches, all Protestant churches or Pentecostal churches, but they were all organized churches. I think one or two he went to, but he couldn't find anybody teaching near our doctrine. He tried to teach him, tried to tell him himself, and in some way, I'd have to say they run him off because he couldn't agree with him. And he was really discouraged. He didn't have a church to go to. And I was working on computers, traveling a lot. And I got to worrying and praying about him. And I went and talked to him. And he asked me how church was going. I said, "Well, Dad, I'm missing a lot for traveling, working on my job. But I said, I get to go to church when my job is slow and I can go to church." Anyway, he said he didn't know where to go. I talked to him for a while. And he got so under conviction, and he decided that it didn't matter what had happened to him. I told him, my dad, I said, "Dad, it wouldn't hurt you to come back to the body of Christ." He said, "Well, son, I've been having so much trouble. It seems like God won't let me get back there." I said, "Oh, yeah, you can go." if you will go with me next Sunday, I'll take you. And I talked him into it. He called me back a day or two later and said he would go. That's the first time he went back. And it was just the home church. And he went away, son, crying. He didn't know that it was anything like it used to be. But when we was there, we had a wonderful time and an outburst of the Holy Ghost. And he left crying. And then we talked as I visited him on the weekends that I could get to him. And I said, Dad, there's going to be a meeting down in Texas at the big church there. And I said, I'd like to take you with me. And he got to thinking about it, and he agreed to go with me. And I took him down there, and he got to hear Brother Souders, James Souders, and all of the ministers that we had at that time. Some of you would know him. But he just sat there and cried all through the service. And Brother James Souders got up and just blessed him to where he was overflowing. And we got up and shouted and shouted and shouted. And just a spirit, you couldn't have had a higher blessing. Several people getting the Holy Ghost. And my dad just shouted, shook, just troubled, you know, but he was just waving his hands and tears running down. And he even got up and said, I couldn't believe that this church has still got this kind of spirit. And we all, you know, almost kind of giggled about it, but he was becoming so happy. And he said, son, I'm not sure what to do. I said, I can tell you what I'd do. Move a little closer to our church so you can be with us. He said, son, I'm going to think that over. I might just do that. I kept on him until he decided to move, and he moved right close to us and found out eventually, bought this house right behind this church. I don't know if you all knew that, but he did. And he stayed here. I don't know how long it was exactly. But one day, he was getting so old, he was dangerous for him for driving. And one day, he was traveling anyway on that Highway 67, a real crooked highway in the United States and Missouri. It happened to be my cousin that pulled up behind him in the night, and he was about half asleep, and he almost run over my dad. Now my daddy didn't know it, but he was scared to death and didn't know it was my cousin. And when he got up beside that truck that my dad was driving, he was scared to death. He ran on, and he knew that he almost killed my dad. So he came, next time we all got together as a family, he told his story, how he almost run over Dad. And Dad said, well, you know, son, he said, I was just slowing down and slowing down. I don't see as good as I used to do. And I said, God must have been with you. And my cousin said, no, God was with you. He said, God don't do anything for me because I don't go to church anymore. And he said, I'm sure glad that God didn't let me run over you. And Dad, he began to get back in church. And to my great pleasure, I asked Dad if he'd let me baptize him, and Mom too. And I got to baptize him right here. And what happened to him? He got so old he couldn't. How do I say this nice? It was here, sitting right down here, and when he was in church. But some of you may have noticed he got up at least once every church service. He had the kind of condition men get when you get old, something about like me. But he was a little older than I am now. But my own son found him in the bathroom cleaning himself up. And he was so humiliated. He told me later, son, I don't know how I can keep on coming to church. And it just breaks me up. He cried about it. And then about a week later, I'm trying to make this shorter and shorter. About a week later, he was so frustrated about it. He said, well, I can't go to church anymore. I can't handle it, he said. And so he moved back up to BB. And it wasn't long while he was gone. And then they came. I went and got them, picked them up, and brought them to here quite a lot. But nevertheless, my mother lived on until she was about 98. That's a lot longer than my dad. Dad died in 81, I think. But I'm thinking about my family and my children still here in this church. And I'm so grateful here. I want you to know I'm grateful not just to be here, but there's no other place I'd want to go. No other church I want to go to. You are my people. Not like you belong to me, but you're part of the family. And we love one another. And our church is running, to me, smooth compared to what many other years have been in the past. God is blessing us. I don't want to get bossy here, but I love this church, and I want to tell you how I feel. We need to worship the Lord more. I say it softly. I think what's happened, we're getting like I am right now. I can't dance hardly right now. I'll probably fall on the floor. But I felt like just running out here and running after him. I'd have broke something probably if I'd have done that. I'm now trying to recover from some surgeries I've been through, and having some minor, I don't know, how to explain it, but I'm still having some trouble with my health. And I'm trying to restore my strength from the unactive ways I've had for a little over a year. And I'm walking as every day I can with anybody that will walk with me. I've walked with Brother Wallace most of the time. He's free enough. And Brother Tally's went with us at least once. And I'm enjoying that, because we share a lot with the church. I mean, talking about the church and the thing they were learning. And I'm enjoying this. I want you all to know that I think I'm doing pretty good, a lot better than I thought I would, just to get up and talk. I can't be what I was. I'm trying to be what I should be. And I'm blessed listening to you, every one of you. I like to hear what you say. And look what we have. We got some young men becoming ministers right before our eyes. I just cry over it sometimes, just to know how good it is. And Brother Painter, you're a different man, even from when you got here. You've been changed. God is with you, and it's obvious and evident. I'm so glad for you. That move was the best thing you've ever done, moving here. And we love you. Can't help it now. Your messages excite us, bless us. And what about that Brother Phil Fisher? He ain't what he was, but he is what he is. And he's wonderful, isn't he? Can I say I'm proud of it? Well, I'm thankful for him. All right. But you know what? There's not a one here that I just don't appreciate. Not one. I appreciate everyone. And you know, there's a few around here that I've never heard talk. Never said nothing. Might be some of you youngins over there. You're not just young anymore. You're almost growing up. You're too close to be doing nothing. Encourage the young people. We got five sitting on that pew right there together. Three of them has already talked, got the Holy Ghost. The other two just ready to go. Young, get your part in this. Get available and do what you can. God wants every one of us to have the Holy Ghost. It's a wonderful thing. I know. I sought it 31 years, I believe it was, before I got the Holy Ghost. Married, children growing up. And I got so desperate one time. They had a little fellowship meeting, 3-day fellowship meeting. And this was in St. Louis, in the little church that we changed and went to. And I helped pull the PA system up and put it in and operated it myself. And in this little fellowship meeting, we had it full to the I'm telling you, it was just full. And there I was sitting there by that thing, and I had quit going to the altar because I got the feeling God didn't love me anymore, and I was despondent and just couldn't hardly get me to go to the altar. But I got under conviction that night. But guess what? After 3 days, at the very last hour, I got under conviction and went to the altar. Yeah, there was a lot of people just left. You know, I was down there praying for 2 hours. And I began to say, see, God don't love you. He won't give you the Holy Ghost. What's the use? I said, God, to myself first in my mind, I said, God, I don't care if you don't give me the Holy Ghost. I'm going to keep going anyway. And in a moment, just like that, I started speaking in tongues. I thought, no. Why didn't you do that before this, Jesus? But I was happy. I was so happy. I said, the first thing I said, now I know Jesus does love me. You know, I went to speaking in tongues. And everybody got up and worshiped with me. I tell you, but half the church was gone because it was so late. I think it was about 3 hours at me at the altar. But I got that Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost. Now, I feel good. I wonder if anybody else will love me like Jesus does. I know He loves me now because He gave me the Holy Ghost. Well, that changed my life. That changed my life, and I'm still here. I can't speak too well. If I made up something to say and talk, by the time I got up here, I'd forget it. I don't know how I'm getting as far as I am. I hope you're not getting tired of it. But I want you to know I'm so thankful for what God has done for me. Been through a lot of things, still going through things, and I've found a new scriptures. You all know the one I discovered that affected me in such a way it encourages me. And it's Romans 8:28. All things. This is the lift up. All things. When you think of all things, what do you think of? All the good things or all the bad things? I think of all of them. Because all things work together for the good. All things. He didn't say the good things work together that way and the bad things do it. All things. Do you know how to reach perfection? How did Jesus do it? The Bible says Jesus was made perfect by the things that He suffered, not enjoyed. He suffered. And God gave Him the Holy Ghost. God gave Him. Never mind. God gave Jesus with the Holy Ghost. But what a thing. When I read that, I enjoy that scripture so much because I didn't know. As I was going through my little problems and cares and disappointments and all those things that get you discouraged, and I said, you mean this suffering I'm going through, I've got to take it and be thankful for it? And I'm still doing it. And I want you to know the rest of it. I forgot the 29th verse, but the 28th goes on and says, all things work together for the good to them, now, to those that love the Lord. Now, I guess I would guess that every one of you here loves the Lord. Nobody here would say, I don't love the Lord. But you're going to, God likes that. And He wants you to love Him. All things work together good to love the Lord and those that are called. Now, it's my understanding, if you get the Holy Ghost, you're called. I hope that everybody knows or agrees that. And some of you don't have it. I don't know which ones they are, young people, maybe, somebody. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're not born in Jesus. You're not born in it. You're not, you know that couple that was here last Sunday? Sat back there, and I thought, I wonder if either one of them has the Holy Ghost. I doubt it. And I think they said they're coming back. Can anybody agree with that? So, I think Paul had talked to them and said that they're planning to come back. Well, you know what? We can help them people. I don't care how poor they are. If they come back, they're wanting something and needing something. Yeah, it might be money. It might be food. It might be other things that they need in the natural. But they were listening to us talking about Jesus. And they were paying good attention. And let's hope and pray that we can pray them through the Holy Ghost when they get back. We want more, don't we? More people are needed. You know, we have a great advantage in this body of Christ. I'm not afraid to say this is the best thing going in the world. That's my conviction. There's not another church body better than this. We don't claim to have all the truth yet, because we don't. But we're striving with all our hearts and minds to find the truth and come to agreement. All the ministers and leaders agreeing together and finding it to be the truth. We're looking for the truth. And what we're finding is just wonderful. I don't care how young and old you are. We ought to worship in it. You young people, it's got the energy to get up and dance and run. Use it. Use it. Do it. Praise the Lord. We used to shout and dance, didn't we? We growed out of it. Part of it's just nature. My legs are trembling now, about to collapse under me. I walked, what was it, five laps or something today? I think it was about five laps. I started getting weak on the fourth one. On the fifth one, I slowed down. My legs start hurting. Knees start aching. That's why we older people don't feel like dancing. But is there some other method that we can worship vigorously? At least raise our hands and look up and get yourself in the Spirit and forget the rest of the thing that's going on and whoever else is doing whatever they're doing. But let's really get in the Spirit together and worship God in spirit and in truth. I'm doing it, but you may not see it, because I'm around here already doing it, waking, and it's common how I act around here. But I'm worshiping the Lord, and I get to where I just can't do anything but cry about it. and say, thank you, Lord, I'm still here. And I mean to stay here to the end. And I'm going to come alive again one of these days. But I'm going to die out before I get that to that point. I'll be gone from here someday. But I'm coming back. Just look for me. God back. Bless you. You do that.
And he was in the Air Force, and my husband was stationed at Scott Air Force Base, which is just outside of St. Louis. And we lived in Belleville, and he was in the Air Force. And that was during the Korean War, so I'm telling you how old I am. But I had never heard of the body of Christ. And the best thing that ever happened to me, my young husband, he was 20, I was 17, he would go out with his, actually, for us to be together, we slept on a mattress on the floor of their living room. And we sure didn't have much money. But airmen, they always managed to go out. So Bob would go out with his friends. And the people in front of me, in front of us there one evening, they said, would you like to go to church with us? All my life, from the time I was a little child, my mother would take us to church. We didn't know anything. That was in California. We didn't know anything about the body of Christ. But anyway, that night, I went to church. And the reason I can remember, because I can remember the feel of the railing on the side of the church, and I know that there was a fire there, but anyway, I found something that night. Years later, I was standing in Springdale without a church. You try these out, these churches. You try the Baptist church. It wasn't that you don't try. It's if God has chosen you, then you will always be hungry. And I was always hungry. And when my son was killed, we started changing a little bit. I was a Sunday school teacher in a Baptist church. My son came home from church one time and he said, Mom, when I grow up, I want to be a preacher. Well, I knew. I was smart enough to know that to be trained in a seminary was not what I wanted for Nathan. So I had started praying, and Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good. So some of the things that you think are bad are only good in disguise. So anyway, to get back to my St. Louis experience, I went to church that night, and I honestly cannot tell you everything that happened. There's a possibility that I was even baptized that night. But years later, I'm sitting at Brother Dave's church, and I got to telling his sister about our experience. And I said, I don't remember the name of the church, because I was only 17, and I don't remember the name of the church, but it was a wonderful church. And Brother Dave's sister looked at me, and she said, Sister Painter, said, I believe that was our church. And I believe that it was, because when I described the way the church looked and everything, we decided that that was the church. And all of that took place over from 1951 until 1991. So folks, don't give up. If God has his hands on you, he will find you wherever you are. He found us. We came out of that Baptist church, and there were some things in the Baptist, the biggest Baptist church in Bentonville. But there were things that were intolerable. God uses bad things to get you set on the right path. And so we came out, and we came out clean. We did not come out because Sister Jenny Baker pulled us out or anything. We came out of the Baptist church. Michelle, she was in the Baptist. She has helped me teach. I was teaching children, and she would help me come down and help. Nathan was in the church and done all the things that you do in the Baptist church. You go on trips, you know. They would take the kids to the zoo and stuff, you know. But praise God. When we came out and we walked in that Sunday morning, there were seven of us. We walked in and we sat down. And Sister Jenny Baker, she just turned around and smiled at us. And that was all the blessing I needed that day, was Sister Jenny Baker. We went back to the... Now, Sister Baker had told us, she said, now, we're going to have lunch. Said, it's not like in the Baptist church where you pay ahead of time. We're going to have lunch. Don't you even offer to pay. So we knew what we, you know, that we would be their guests and everything. And we went back there, and Sister Margie Hendricks, I looked at her, and there was such a smile on her face. I said, Lord, whatever she's got, that's what I want. And it put us on a path. I wound up losing my job. We sold our farm. There was a lot of things happened. But all things worked together for good. And I praise God that I'm here. When we came out of that church up there, Esther and I, when we came down here for that Sunday, we went home thinking that everything was going to be great. No. I'm not even going to go into what they pulled on us. But Esther said, I won't be going back. And we didn't go back. And we looked for a church up there because we had a beautiful home. But it doesn't matter where you live. Folks, if you can find the body of Christ, you've got it made, because wherever you are, you're going to see God. I always have thought of that song. The next time I heard the music, I was standing in the rain or in this little store. The kids and I, my husband Bob, as before we divorced, he left us. He couldn't handle it. He could not handle church. I don't know why he left. But anyway, I'm standing there, and we were having to sit in the car when it rained because the roof that we had rented leaked so bad that we couldn't stay in the building. So I was standing in the rain, and there was some music being played across the street. Now, there's a lot of things I don't know about the Merle Church. But I do know that the music that you hear in the churches. I got to hear the church in London, in Paris, France. I've heard it many times on the campground. I've heard it, Brother Leniger's church. I've heard, you know, just different places that I have been privileged to go to. So folks, listen to the music, because the music is God's way of talking to us. I'm just so grateful to be here, but I had to tell you about Brother Dave's sister telling us that Sister Painter said, I think it was our church, and I think it was. And that put something hungry inside of me that it never left me until I was able to finally, after many years, because it took 20 or 30 years to find the body of Christ. But I kept looking. So if you're hungry, keep looking, because God will feed you.
You stand up and say, I want to praise the Lord for bringing me through all kinds of hardships. And as June said, we attended 10 different churches up there trying to find it, hungering and hungering for the Word of God that made sense. And thank God I'm here. I got such a blessing out of Brother Phil's and Brother Wingaker's. I got such a blessing out of the song. When I think of what God has done for me and what Jesus has done for me, how can I count it? All of my engineering degrees and all of my work putting a man on the moon, we had to have different measurements. I mean, when a rifle bullet is going down the road, it's about 10 times how some people drive, 10 times. To send a man to the moon, we have to be going about 35 times a rifle, a speed of sound, 8 times a bullet, an object as big as a house. So all of my life, I've been thinking about big, big numbers. It takes 8 minutes for the sun rays to come from 93 million miles away. We're talking about light years away. And we've sent a Pioneer, and we've sent unmanned space that is going and going, and it takes about 3 hours for the radio signal to come back, say, I'm okay, I'm still going. And they're going many, many times as a rifle bullet, but they're still going. And that's what I want to do. I want to keep on going, because I know that God's blessing is unmeasurable. 10,000 years from now, I'll be hopefully 30-year-old and can jump over the building. And I'll be looking and hungering for learning more about Jesus Christ and his great example to me, Dester H. Ogden. Thank you so much for being here, and I praise the Lord every day for being here.
I'm so thankful for the body of Christ, the keys unfold, the silver and gold, and the pearls and the gems that were left here by him are not for all to see, they're just for you. to but him are not for all to see, just for you and me. I'm so thankful for the body of Christ, the keys of gold, the silver and gold, the pearls and the gems that were left here by him are not for all to see, they're just for you.
Him up and